Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Ralph, and today we'll be reading from two prevention magazines, Time Magazine and Self Magazine, if we have time. Excuse me. 1.8 million cases of type 2 diabetes Americans could prevent by 2020 if we did one simple step. Skip drinking sugary drinks, especially soda. Try it now. Skip your daily fizz. Even for a lean, healthy person, one sugary drink a day increased the risk of diabetes by 18% over 10 years, according to a study by the something BMJ. Your memory, a third better. Here's a new reason to submit to a siesta. Volunteers who snoozed for 90 minutes recalled 33% more random word pairs like vegetable, Bible, which, by the way, we totally read after waking. The bump is courtesy of a sleep time action in the brain's hippocampus, says study author Sarah Studley of Saarland University, Germany. Not the napping type. Consider a pre-bedtime your prime slot for learning new stuff. Just might make you smarter. You just might wake up smarter. 52% of diagnosed urinary tract infections are not urinary tract infections. That's news from a study of women with urinary tract-like infections at Cleveland ER. Misdiagnosis means unneeded antibiotics and, of course, leaves the true case untreated. Urinary tract infections share symptoms with kidney stones and STDs. If you have fever, nausea, vaginal discharge, it's probably not a urinary tract infection. As for a urine culture, it's a more effective way to quick and easy. Women should skip monthly breast self-exam. It's mostly true. Women who do formal self-exams often find lumps that turn out to be not cancer, but a thorough monthly check can cause more harm than it's worth. But, and this is a big but, don't ignore your breasts. Women often notice growth while showering or dressing because they're familiar enough with their bodies to spot a change. So skip the strict exam and sure check yourself regularly and then take a look too at the skin dimpling, which can also be a sign of breast cancer. 40.3%. That's how few people have checked the flu vaccine off their to-do list by November last year. According to the Center for Disease Control, it's officially time to protect yourself as soon as the vaccine is available. At the very least, get it by October to give yourself the best shot at avoiding the bug altogether. High blood pressure. A shocking one-third of women who have high blood pressure, this excess force of blood pushing against artery walls can damage blood vessels and ultimately trigger heart attack, stroke, aneurysm, or kidney damage. Problem arises from narrow or stiff arteries and an overworked heart. Often reversible. Here's how. The outdoors. A good day, sunshine, ultraviolet light alters the levels of compound called nitric oxide in the skin and blood, relaxing vessels and lowering blood pressure. And Japanese research into forest bathing finds that spending time in nature lowers the blood pressure along with stress hormones and heart rate. 120 over 80 to 139 over 89 equals hypertension, meaning you might end up with high blood pressure if you don't take steps to prevent it. 140 over 90 and up, it's high blood pressure. Every day over the counters, root out the culprits. Try antihistamines in place of blood pressure raising decongestants, reduce pain with aspirin instead of acetaminophens like NSAIDs. Other blood pressure boosting drugs to be aware of include hormonal birth controls, antidepressants, and migraine medicines. Probiotics. Promising preliminary research getting good bacteria from food probiotic pills for more than 8 weeks lowered the top blood pressure number by 3.6 millimeters and the lower number by 2.4 millimeters in a recent analysis by NAN randomized controlled trials. 36 million, that's how many Americans with high blood pressure don't have it under control, and nearly half of all people in the U.S. with the condition. Low blood pressure diet, not just about sodium. Opt for sweet potatoes, avocados, yogurt, spinach, rich in pressure-lowering potassium, which American Heart Association recommends. Daily sodium is controversially low. It can hurt to avoid packaged foods more than 200 milligrams per serving. Less booze. Cut back on little or none. Sorry. A drink a day is likely fine, but here's three raises blood pressure, even in healthy people. Heavy drinker. Cut back slowly over weeks to avoid blood pressure spikes that can happen when quitting cold turkey. Going from heavy to moderate drinking can lower your blood pressure from 2 to 4 millimeters. Weight loss, it's a heavy influence. A recent study found it's the biggest controllable factor in blood pressure. Excess weight makes the heart work harder. People who lost 9 pounds avoided a lowered blood pressure by 4.5 top and 3 millimeters bottom. Prescription meds, quite the array. Lower blood pressure by reducing sodium, slowing heartbeat, relaxing blood vessels. Your doctor will choose diuretics, alpha blockers, beta blockers, ACE inhibitors based on your age and health history. Paced breathing. Deep breathing can calm nerves and lower blood pressure. An FDA-approved device called Respirate syncs breath with music. Do apps like Breathing Zone. Moving your butt all around release valve. Blood pressure goes up temporarily in exercise, but later lower than it would have if you had been sitting, and may stay lower for up to 12 hours. Activity tones blood vessels, relieves stress, and controls weight. Aim for 30 minutes of moderate exercise like walking, dancing, hiking, swimming at least 5 days a week. I do. No, I didn't mean I'm getting married. I just said I do. 17 secrets every day to every doctor's receptionist knows. The average time you wait to see a physician in 15 major U.S. cities is 18 and a half days. Need a doctor in Boston? That'll be 66 days on average. If you're hunting for a dermatologist in Philadelphia, try 49 days. Accessing doctors is just one of the things about medical care that's maddening. But the secret to navigating it all is right there in the waiting room with you, the receptionist. As the office gatekeeper, they know all the tricks as we asked them to spill. Here are 17 top tips for getting prompt quality health care anywhere. 1. Call between 10 and 11 a.m. That's when most offices know about afternoon cancellations. Book solid. Ask if the doctor bills any times open for same day or urgent appointments. Check the weather forecast. If it's supposed to be ugly, your chance of getting a last minute appointment improved greatly. Don't leave a voice message. If it's urgent, stay on hold until you reach a real person. I've had people forget to leave a callback number, and I can't understand what they're saying, so it's always try to get a hold of somebody, said Angelica Ruiz, a receptionist who works with New York Dermatologist. Trust the nurses. What you think is a question only a doctor can answer. It may actually be something a nurse is qualified to handle. But rest assured, if it's something more involved, she will put the phone in the doctor's hands, says Lisa Ogletree, a receptionist in physical therapy in Portland, Oregon. 5 ways to spend less time in waiting rooms. Schedule an appointment for early morning or right after lunch. That's when doctors are most likely to be on time. So you wait less if these slots don't. If these slots don't fit your schedule, make a Wednesday appointment. That's when the slowest day in most offices. Give a deadline. If you can't avoid busy office times, tell a receptionist when you call that you need to leave by a certain time. I'll know not to book you next to a procedure or annual visit, which takes longer, says Ogletree. Save your annual checkup for late spring or summer. Excuse me. From May to August, most people are relatively healthy and on vacation, so doctor's offices are all kinds are quieter. September is good, too, because it's back-to-school time. Stay away in December. Cold and flu season makes winter the busiest time, in December being especially nuts. People want to use up their insurance benefits before their year's end, said Robin, I can't pronounce that, director of operations at Cincinnati's Total Dentistry. If you have a late day appointment, call the office an hour ahead of time to see if the doctor's on schedule. If not, ask when to show up. 2 tricks for more efficient visits. Request any paperwork ahead of time. If you're a new patient and you can't arrive 10 to 15 minutes early for your appointment, ask the office to send required forms beforehand. Double-check everything. To avoid screw-ups that will cause delays or force a return trip, check with the office the day before your appointment to be sure all necessary lab test results are in. Call your insurance provider to double-check coverage and copay, and, of course, don't forget your insurance card. One way to avoid office entirely, ask receptionist this, is a doctor receiving emails or text message? Does your doctor set aside any time for emergency phone conversation with patients? If so, you're in. Your body on nuts. You've heard nuts, okay, and legumes are mighty good for you, but did you know a handful a day could do all this? Tack on bonus years. Compared to non-nut eaters, people who ate at least 10 grams, about 9 almonds a day, had 23% lower chance of death from any cause. They chased fat. Those who nibbled on more than 3 servings of nuts per week were less likely to be obese, have diabetes, or carry excess belly fat than those who ate less than 1 serving a week. They give you that glow. The vitamin E in almonds and Brazil nuts help protect skin against damage. Some research shows they even enhance each other's antioxidant activity. They maintain your brain. People with the highest intake of vitamin E, nuts, and other foods, not supplements, had 25% reduced risk of developing dementia compared with those who had lower vitamin E intake. They keep you happy. Patients with type 2 diabetes who ate a Mediterranean diet that included an ounce of mixed nuts daily had a 40% reduced risk of developing depression compared with low-fat diet control group. They curb cravings. Research shows that when you eat almonds, peanuts, or peanut butter at breakfast, they secrete more appetite-suppressing hormones, helping control blood sugar and reduce cravings for up to 12 hours. Okay. Swipe off the pounds. Never download another useless app with these 3 free picks. Vetted by recent study in American Journal of Medicine, they actually work. Strava. That's Strava. If you're trying to increase your mileage, you can track distance, pace, calories burned, plus gather suggestions on best areas to walk run, and bike. You can also earn badges and compare your performance with other users, which is a great motivator. Food Ducate. If you're trying to clean up your diet, you'll get grades on your food choices from A, great, to D, bad, plus healthy alternative suggestions based on your weight, height, and diet goals. You can also track your progress and share it with others. Lose It. If you're trying to lose weight, you can create your own weight loss plan based on your goals. Track your calories you've taken and burn, taps into peer support. To see more apps that made our cut, go to prevention.com/fitness apps. 150 to 170, that's the ideal beats per minute for your workout playlist. Exercises heart rates, hit calorie burning zone faster when they listen to music in this range. How about that? Try Happy by Pharrell Williams, it said. Okay, let's go to another magazine. Here's another prevention magazine. So we got in this one. Okay. 10 best snacks for stress eaters. You crave sweets under pressure. Here's the reason. Sugar suppresses the stress hormone cortisol, but it leaves you hungrier. Stop the cycle with snacks high in fiber, fat, protein, and other soothing benefits. Ants on a log. Celery, peanut butter, and raisins pack a dose of energizing carbs and filling fiber, fat, and protein. Energy Bites. Name says it all. Mix half a cup of chopped dates, half a cup of nut butter, 1/4 cup of rolled oats in a bowl, forming a 12 to 14 balls. Herbal Teas. Ease anxiety. While green tea contains the amino acid L-theanine, which provides focused tranquility. Peanut butter and bananas are naturally calming and comforting. Dark chocolate almonds. Dark chocolate's bold flavor curbs cravings. 1 ounce a day reduces stress hormones. Veggies and dips. Veggies fill you up with good for you fiber and healthy fat. Helps you feel full longer. Mini parfait. Dairy snacks. Dairy packs calcium, protein, both of which help your body release feel good chemicals. Seltzer with sliced fruit. Dehydration is often mistaken for hunger. Make drinks interesting so you're more inclined to sip. Trail mix. Walnuts help the body respond better to stress. Paired with dried fruit and chocolate for max satisfaction. Roasted chickpeas. For guiltless salt crunch, tossed with oil and spices on a sheet pan or bake at 400 degrees for 30 minutes. Get Slim Habits. 4 cut the crap tips by nutritionists live by. A quarter of expert dietitians shared these. A quartet of expert dietitians shared these straightforward principles on how to eat. How much eat matters more than what. Instead of debating oatmeal or cereal, measure food out to smaller portions as a habit. Most important thing on the package is the ingredient list. The shorter the list, the less processed the food. Herbs and spices aren't just for flavor. They're packed with phytonutrients, which can metabolize memory and balance the blood sugar. This time to watch intake is when you're snacking, when you get 25% of all calories between our 3 meals. How many meals do thin people eat? Eating 6 small meals a day may be best for weight loss, according to a study in the Journal of Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Subjects who stuck to that routine had lower body mass index on average, likely eating because eating 3 to 4 hours keeps blood sugar stable, making people less likely to overeat or eat impulsively. Study also found those who ate the bulk of their food during the day and not late at night were more likely to be so slim, but you knew that already. Go to bed early like I've been doing. That's what I'm doing. Stay up, you want to eat. Surprisingly simple ways to create your own walking group. Don't be afraid to post a call for members on Facebook, says walking coach and author of Walk Off the Weight. You can also ask around at work or church or yoga class. Aim for a minimum of 2 other people. This way you'll be more likely to have at least one walking buddy if someone can't show up. Fix the time and make sure the time works for you. If you're the leader, you can't be the one skipping out. The 20-minute drive to the park gets old fast. Walk right in your own neighborhood or tie walks to other weekly events. For instance, if you already meet friends up for coffee, start there and slip free or post walk. Read the same book and watch the same TV shows and discuss it while you're walking. If you don't know each other, do icebreakers to build relationships. More reason to keep on walking. 3 cheers for the scale. New studies link successful weight loss to daily weigh-ins. Sounds awful the way we talk to experts to determine if it's a vital or total torment. Pros, it's proven to work. A recent study of overweight adults found those who weighed themselves daily lost more weight. It lets you course correct immediately as opposed to weeks or months later when things may have gotten out of hand. It highlights many victories. Seeing your efforts are paying off can fire up your resolve, helping you stick to a weight loss plan even when you feel like calling it quits. Cons, it can drive you nuts. An unhealthy obsession with numbers can be stressful, sending some of us toward a binge. It's not always accurate. Your weight is constantly changing from time of day you're wearing, and what you're wearing can change the numbers. If you make a rigid weekend cheat meal, can actually help you lose more weight as long as you go back to your healthy habits on Monday, according to a recent study. Bottom line, daily self-weighing is a helpful technique, but if it makes you crazy, use another gauge, like how your pants fit instead. Okay. Go over to the Time magazine here and see what we can find in here to read real quick. Okay, nutshell, Pacific. In ancient history, the locus of the world's conflicts and advancements was the Mediterranean Sea. After that, it was the Atlantic Ocean. But today, argues historian Simon Winchester in his new book, All Eyes Should Be on the Pacific. More than any other region, he writes, its waters, which cover nearly a third of the planet's surface, will shape our future. They're home to China's rapidly expanding navy. They enable precision long-range U.S. missile testing. Rockets have been fired 4,000 miles from the west coast to an army base in the Marshall Islands, landing within inches of their target. And they lap the shores of cities, San Francisco, Tokyo, creating the most innovative technology. More pressing, however, is the fact that the Pacific, the Earth's most seismically active ocean, will exert outsized influence on global weather patterns, especially amid rapid climate change. How the government created your cell phone. Steve Jobs is just one example of the startup mythology that surrounds Silicon Valley. We credit the private sector for the innovation and growth in the economy. But the University of Sussex economist's book, The Entrepreneurial State, Debunking the Public versus Private Sector Myths, argues that the government, not venture capitalists or tech visionaries, that are the heroes. Every major technological change in recent years traces its founding back to the government. An early stage private sector venture capitalist came in after big breakthroughs had been made. Book recounts how parts of the smartphone that make it smart, to GPS, to touch screens, to internet, were advanced by the United States Defense Department. Tesla's batteries came out of the Department of Energy grant. Google's search engine was boosted by the National Science Foundation innovation. And many new drugs have come out of the National Institute of Health Research. How much private sector owes the government will be a hot-button issue in 2016. But there's a better model. Israel and Finland retain equity in firms that come out with a basic government research. And U.S. government has in the past dictated that companies reinvest money in Main Street rather than give it to Wall Street. That's how Bell Labs was born, after the federal government pressured AT&T to reinvest profits in innovation. We got a C-plus programming language and cell phone calling technology, among many other advances out of that. Not a bad precedent. Okay. Having a hard time turning into my stuff here. Hold on. Oh, The Witches. This is a new book that's out. It's called The Witches. Even today, haunted hordes descend on Salem, Massachusetts. It draws a 250,000 tourists each October with the Devil's Chase Fun Run, magic shows, booze cruises, seances, parades of the official Salem Witches Halloween Hall. All that fun, of course, comes at a somewhat forgotten cost. The lives that ended in 1692 witch trials. As Stacy Shipp demonstrates in her new work of history, The Witches, Salem, 1692, we know frightening little about that strange and terrifying year. The hallmark of the scary story is that it gets scarier the longer you sit with it. Come home from the bonfire, climb into your warm bed, remind yourself that the hitchhiker in the book isn't real, but then suddenly, the branch scraping on a window pane becomes something altogether more sinister. Salem has that power. In the Massachusetts woods, a Puritan village is afflicted with the devil. His guilty consorts, mostly women, live among the innocent and neighbors and relatives. The village, with the help of the most learned men in the colony, sets out to find them. The witches are fearsome, but the witch trials become more so. They profess innocence or sent to death, unable to prove they're not guilty of a crime that is itself beyond proof. Witchcraft inscribed a vicious cycle. Its allegations generated witch-like behavior. The year passes, 19 people are executed, and the mist clears and suddenly it's settled. The Witches is a closely researched TikTok of the trials. What it adds is detail, like the sheriff who seizes the estates of the accused even before their convictions. Shipp, who won a Pulitzer Prize in 2000 for Vera, her autobiography of Vladimir Nabokov's wife, and made the bestseller list in 2010 with Cleopatra. Anyway, the obvious question here is why? Why did the accusers start down this path? And quickly, why did anyone believe them? The readers want to hear, and possible answers she uncovers are intriguing. Political upheaval, social imbalances, psychological, even fairy tales. But while occasionally she leans on the crutch, suggesting a revelation is forthcoming, she also knows she can't fully resolve the question. That's why the witch hunt has endured as a scary story. If we can't say how it started, it can't teach us how to prevent it from happening again. And that's enough to make anyone shiver. So, how do you like that little story? I guess that's our show for today. We've only got like 30 seconds left. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. Bye.